Well, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5. And remember, on Wednesday nights, church service is at 6 o'clock, our Bible study and prayer time. We're going through the book of Galatians, and so we want to encourage you to be a part of that as you come out to church. Or if you're watching via live stream, we'll be live streaming that study also. And that starts right at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evenings, a study going through the book of Galatians. And so we don't want you to miss out on anything. Be sure to get tuned in this Wednesday for that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 23. I want to share a message entitled, Faithful is He That Calleth. Faithful is He That Calleth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be together tonight, be able to study the Word of God. It certainly was a blessing in our discussion panel going through Romans chapter 12. And Lord, now we're thankful for this passage, which reminds us of the faithfulness of our God to us. And so I pray that there's someone here tonight just needs to be encouraged and strengthened. May the Spirit of God minister the Word to their heart, Lord. And we'd be able to leave here just feeling that we've met with God and God is with us. And Lord, I would pray that there's someone that is not saved, Lord, that they might respond to the invitation to come to Christ, whether it be live stream or whether it be here in the building. Lord, we want the name of Jesus Christ to be exalted and lifted up. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 24. It tells us, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The Apostle Paul's statement is in reference to the faithfulness of God, and it's right here in the middle of these two letters to the Thessalonians church. 1 Thessalonians, then you have 2 Thessalonians, and so as he finishes up 1 Thessalonians, as he begins encourage them more in 2 Thessalonians, right in the middle of these two books, there's this statement that God is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. And I think the believers at that time needed to be reminded that God's faithfulness is he will accomplish what he has called you to do, or he will accomplish what it is he wants you to do in his life. It is evident that in Acts chapter 17, we won't read all these verses, but in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15, that the Apostle Paul had planted this church at Thessalonica. And so Paul had a heart for them, he had a desire for them, and he was only there for a short while, and he left in the dark of the night due to great persecution. Paul, we often think of Paul, we often acknowledge the working of God in his life and his ability to plant so many churches, but we often don't stop to talk about or think about the persecution that he suffered in the process. And so certainly the believers, these were young believers, were disturbed and troubled by what Paul would have to go through, and Paul's wanting to encourage them, remember that God is faithful. The one who calls us is the one who is faithful, and he will do what he has said he would accomplish in our lives. The controversy that Paul was persecuted about was that over Jesus Christ as the king instead of Caesar being the king. And so as Paul would always take a firm stand on Christ is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords, in a world and in an environment that dictated that only Caesar could be acknowledged as the king. But Paul would not back off on that. Paul was not able to return to Thessalonians, but he sent Timothy there to see their condition. And so right in the middle here, I think he's wanting just to be an encouragement. faithful is he that calleth you, who'll also do it. And I just think tonight sometimes people just need encouraging. We live in a world that just seems to be more and more confusing and more turned upside down. But wait a minute, God is still faithful. God is not shocked by what is going on, and God will see us through, and he will do what he wants to accomplish in each of our lives. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also do it. What I want to do tonight is just look up a verse in the Bible that goes along with my point, and then expound that verse in reference to how God is faithful. All right, so let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. First of all, I just thought of this, personal experiences. I like reading people's testimonies of how they got saved, what God's done in their life, but I like it better when I see it being done in my life, amen. And so Deuteronomy chapter 7, in speaking in reference to the faithfulness of God, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." And so by personal experience, we can know that God is faithful, who calls us, because he is what he will do what he has declared to do. First of all, how do I experience this? By intellectual comprehension. He says, "Know therefore that the Lord." The only way that you can intellectually comprehend who Christ is or who God is and the faithfulness of God in our life is for you to read and study the Word of God. It's for you to memorize Scripture, for you to meditate on the things that are in the Word of God. If there is something that really just needs to be stronger and stronger in our lives, especially in the times in which we live, is to know who Christ is. Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And we need to know who Christ is. You don't get to know Christ by reading other literature and books, because they may mention Christ and they may give their opinion about who Christ is, but who is Christ in reference to what you comprehend him to be? And the only way you can have a clear comprehension of who God is by reading the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so that know ye therefore the Lord thy God. And you need to know him in a personal way. You need to personally experience who God is and what he can do in your life. I am thankful for the many, many situations in my life that God has brought me through, because in bringing me through those circumstances and situations, it has enabled me to understand and comprehend who God is. And there's many things that I read in the Scripture that I can't comprehend because I haven't personally experienced that. And I remember years ago, I had a lady, I was trying to be an encouragement to her, some things she was going through, and I'll never forget her words. And this was many years ago. She said this to me. She said, "Yeah, but you don't understand how I feel because you've never experienced this." And I told her, I said, "You know, you're absolutely right. I really don't know how you feel. I'm trying to have empathy. I'm trying to gain understanding about what is going on. But yes, I personally have not experienced that." Well, listen, it's one thing for me to preach about Christ. It's one thing for me to teach about Christ. It's one thing for me to testify about Christ. But I'm going to tell you, you don't know him like I know him if you haven't experienced what God has taken me through. And there is no way that I can comprehend who Christ is in reference to your experiences because of the fact that he makes himself known through these trials and difficulties in our life. So know ye therefore the Lord thy God. You need to have an intellectual comprehension of who Christ is. And the only way you're going to get that is by reading the Word, meditating on the Word, trusting the Word, allowing God to work his will in your life through every circumstance and situation. When we come out on the other side, we ought to be able to have a new understanding of who Christ is. what good is it going to be if we go through this whole trial of COVID-19 and come out on the other side and do not have a deeper understanding of who God is? The sad thing is I'm very concerned about this whole situation because people are scattered. And, my concern is, are people falling by the wayside, or are they drawing closer to Christ? When they come out on the other side of this, and there is a coming out on the other side, when we come out on the other side, are you going to come out on the other side just kind of drained and empty and no more understanding of who Christ is? Or are you going to come out on the other side with a zeal and a stirring and excitement to say, man, I'll tell you, God has showed himself to me through this situation. And so faithful is he that calleth. And the only way that you can comprehend the faithfulness of God who has called you is by personal experience, intellectual comprehension. Notice in letter B would be this, spiritual identification. Deuteronomy 7 and 9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. And so this spiritual identification, do not allow yourselves to be entertaining even the thought process that there's a possibility of another God. And the devil likes to put questions in people's minds. The devil likes to take our young people, and it's a very alarming situation because our young people are bombarded with so many different concepts of God, religion, and tolerance, and all these different things that they fall into the trap of thinking it's okay to identify with multiple sources of who God is. But the reality is there has to be a spiritual identification that, wait a minute, he is God. There is no other God. He is the faithful God. And there cannot be any room for any type of other influence to come into my life. I particularly like situations where people just kind of get together in groups and sit around and talk about the Bible, and there are all kinds of different religious backgrounds because everybody interjects their concept of who God is into the conversation, and it muddies the water. And we don't gain a personal experience of who Christ is spiritually. In Exodus chapter 34 in verse 14 says, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. And God will not share his glory with another. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6 that no man can serve two masters. You can't have it both ways. Either one way is true and the other is false. They both can't be correct. And so when we talk about understanding the faithfulness of God, there needs to be a spiritual experience identifying that he is the only God and he is the faithful God. You cannot leave any leeway for anything else. Over the years as a growing Christian, there's been a lot of things that I've started to read that was questionable, and I put it down. I throw it out. I don't read it. I don't waste my time. I get emails from people, and I go to look at it, and I look at what it is, and I'm like, I'm not wasting my time reading this. I don't have a lot of time as it is. If I'm going to read something, I'm going to read the Word of God. And oftentimes what we do is we allow ourselves to be drawn in and captured into these situations, but we lose our identity spiritually because of the fact we entertain the thoughts of other possibilities. And wait a minute, faithful is he that has called you. And so intellectual comprehension with a spiritual identification that he is the only God. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, continuing to take that verse apart, notice a covenantal obligation. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, and here it is, which keepeth covenant and mercy unto them that love him. He's a covenant-keeping God. And when God signed a covenant with us, and it's in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the blood of the New Testament. This is the blood of the new covenant. God established a covenant with us that salvation is through Christ and Christ alone. And he is the one who keeps his covenant. He is not going to turn around and say, oh, by the way, I told you need to be saved by the washing and renewing of your spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ. I told you that, but you know, now it's been 14 years, and so I'm just going to change my mind. No, he is the one who keeps covenant. And I can depend on the fact the faithfulness of God is what he covenanted with me as a means of salvation is true today. Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we must get in a covenantal relationship with Christ so that we might have a personal experience of the assurance that God is with us. So I see a covenantal obligation. Well, I see a generational continuation. Boy, they all rhyme. Amen. There you go. You'll be able to memorize that in 10 minutes. Anyway, notice it says in our text where we're reading in Deuteronomy 7, 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. And here it is, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So generation continuation. Generational continuation. Our faith in Christ has to go to the next generation. Our next generation needs to have their faith in Christ go to the following generation. There cannot be a generational gap where all of a sudden we lose the ability to comprehend who God is by personal experience because our children aren't experiencing it. One of the things that really is bothersome to me with this COVID-19 and Christian law and different ones are suggesting that we do not have Sunday school and things like that right now just because of the restrictions that are on us and the amount of people can be in the building and how you're going to deal with them. But my problem with that is the children. Where are the children? The children, are they getting spiritual instruction in the home? Where are the children? The children need to learn the Word of God. Why? Because the children need to have a personal experience with this God who is faithful from generation to generation to generation. There's so much literature that is being written about why young people are leaving the church. And I think we need to address the topic differently. Why is it our young people not experiencing who God is? Because if they're experiencing who God is, they're not going to leave the church. And people, listen, people will fall way out of the church and depart from the church, adults or kids or whatever it may be, when they lose the personal experience of understanding the faithfulness of God to them. Because they start looking for something else. And whatever they're looking for, it does not satisfy. And I watch it. You know, Facebook is wonderful. Anything I want to know, I can go on Facebook about anybody. Why? And I don't have to search. Why? Because everybody posted it on there. So I like snooping sometimes. So-and-so left the church 15 years ago. I wonder what they're doing now. And you turn on their Facebook page and you say, what in the world happened to them? What in the world happened? I'll tell you what happened. They forgot that God is faithful and his call of salvation upon your heart. And he has a plan and a purpose for you and your children and your grandchildren. A generational response that, wait a minute, you can experience God from one generation to another generation. So faithful is he that calleth you. So personal experience. Number two, got to keep moving. A practical witness. Look over in Psalm 40. Psalm 40, take another verse apart here and think about it tonight. Psalm 40 in verse 10. Psalm 40 in verse 10. You're watching live stream, turn over to Psalm 40 and 10. I want to hear those pages turning. Amen. Psalm 40 and 10 says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not canceled thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. I see some of the things here about this. Practical witness. A holy lifestyle. He says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. In other words, he wasn't trying to hide who he was. He was not a Christian incognito, amen. He was not an undercover agent for Jesus. He said, I didn't hide your righteousness. And how do you see that righteousness of Christ? The righteousness of Christ is seen in the way that we live, our lifestyle that we live. 2 Corinthians, I'll just read this for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation. The word conversation means lifestyle. We have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. He's just saying this, I didn't hide my testimony. I didn't hide who I was. The psalmist says, I did not hide your righteousness in my heart. People often say, well, you know, God doesn't look on the outward appearance, he looks on the heart. Yes, he knows what's in the heart, but nobody sees or knows who you are on the outside unless you demonstrate it. Lifestyle, living out your life for the glory of God. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to a preacher on the radio on the way over to church this afternoon, and he was preaching out of a Sermon on the Mount, and he said this. It's interesting that Jesus didn't say, you will become the salt of the earth. He just said, ye are the salt of the earth. He didn't say you will become the light to the world. He said you are the light of the world. And I think we forget that. Our practical witness that we live out based on the faithfulness of God working in our life is that our lifestyle depicts who we are in reference to the righteousness of Christ that is in us. So our faith in Christ ought to impact how we live. Now, notice not only that, but there's evangelical conversation. He says in Psalm 40 and verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. And he says this, I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Evangelical conversation. You know, all you have to do is talk to people about how you got saved. That's all you got to do. You know, it's easy enough to get the conversation on that. You saw how I changed the conversation. Say, just tell them, you know what? I never will forget the day when I got saved. It's a good way to lead into it. I had a wisdom tooth cut out several years ago. And I went to the dentist. And of course, they put me under. And I tell them, listen, you're going to put me under. Just be aware of this. I might come out preaching. And they put me under, and when I came out, I was in a wheelchair. All I remember was I was in a wheelchair, and I was coming out of that thing, and I was preaching. And I told my wife, I said, you see that lady over there? She needs to be saved. And she's like, well, you shut up. And I'm telling people how to be saved. I'm telling the nurse how to be saved. I mean to tell you one thing right now. I tell them, you're going to put me under, get ready for some preaching, amen? And evangelical conversations, just develop conversation. Don't make this thing complicated. People today are worried about having to wear a mask. They're worried about wearing shields. They're worried about wearing respirators. They're worried about having a hazmat suit on when they go in the grocery store. They're worried about whether they're going to live or whether they're going to die. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You can develop a conversation with people easy enough. If nothing else, stand too close to them and they'll start to yell at you. Now you got an open door of opportunity. Amen. Sometimes you got to make it work. But faithful is he that calls. You say, why would I do that? Because God is faithful. And he'll speak through you and he'll impact other people's lives through you if you just realize the faithfulness of God. So holy lifestyle, evangelical conversation. And then in our verse, I believe it deals with a charitable interaction. Notice it says, I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Charitable interaction. The loving kindness of God, that's the mercy of God. If there is one thing people need to know and experience is what real mercy is. There's not much mercy in our world. There's not much mercy at all in any of the realm of the world in which we live. But it would be nice if people could see it through the Christian. If they could see a charitable spirit among the Christian, being willing to reach out and be a help to others. And so there is a personal experience. There's a practical witness. Now look over in Isaiah 25. Isaiah chapter 25. And we're going to look at verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 25. And the next point is just simply this, a powerful praises. If we have a personal experience that develops a practical witness, it is an automatic response that there'll be powerful praise. I'll never forget the boy that I led to the Lord. Little boy, it's about 6, 7 years old. I led him to the Lord. I can still see him running across the back of the auditorium in Pontiac, Michigan, in Emmanuel Baptist Church, running over to his mommy and yelling to her, Mommy, 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 that man saved me. And I'll never forget that. Throughout all eternity, I'll never forget that. There's people I led to the Lord when I was driving tractor and trailer that I've never seen again. I'll see them in heaven. There's people I've led to the Lord when I was driving bus. I'll never see them again till I get to heaven. But wait a minute, having a powerful praise of God because of the fact that you have a personal experience that develops a practical witness. I think there'll be more people singing praises unto the Lord if they had some more experiences of God. Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And so I see this matter of exalting the person of God. What is powerful praise? Exalting the person of God. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. When you think about worship and praise, there's so much talked about in churches about worship and praise in the days in which we live, but there's not much acknowledgement of who God is. It may be musical, it may be entertaining, it may be emotionally driven, but if God is not being exalted, if his name isn't being glorified, then you haven't had praise. Exalting the person of God. O Lord, thou art my God. I'll exalt thee. I will praise thy name. Not only exalting the person of God, but in our verse, there's following the counsel of God. Because he says, goes on to say in verse 1 of Isaiah 25, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The counsel of the Lord, following the counsel of the Lord. In other words, when you're reading the scriptures and God speaks to your heart about a passage, then put it in a practical way into your life. The counsel of God. The amazing thing is many times the counsel of God goes directly against the practice of society. But at that moment, if we want to be able to praise the Lord, we want to have a life that testifies of the praises of God, then we need to be willing to follow the counsel of the Lord. And then I see in our verse, in Lamentations chapter 3, in verse 21 and 23, I don't think I put that on. Did I put that verse on there, Jack? No, okay. But in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 and 23, says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so powerful praise of our God involves exalting the person of our God, following the counsel of God, and then depending on the mercy of God. And we must depend on the compassions of the Lord that fail not. And listen, if God's compassion, God's mercy to us is sufficient to save us and sufficient to secure us through all eternity, then certainly it's enough to let us get through these situations in our life. And so faithful is he that calleth you. Personal experience, practical witness, powerful praise. Here's the last thought. Eternal promises. God has made some promises to us that are eternal. That's why he can say, faithful is he that calleth thee. Because God's promises last through all eternity. First of all, I thought about this, the presence of Jesus. Let me just read this verse for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The presence of Christ is based on the faithfulness of God. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is an eternal promise. There is absolutely nothing that will take place in your life where you will be absent from the presence of Christ. You may turn your back on God, but God does not turn his back on you. The eternal promises of Christ. I just am always amazed when I think of Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden. They hid themselves against God, away from God. But it was God who came looking for them. Why? Because faithful is he that calleth who will also do it. And God had a plan, he had a purpose for Adam and Eve in reference to the creation that he created, and the presence of God was even there in the Garden of Eden when they had sinned against their God. And so I see the presence of Christ. I see the eternal promise of absence of evil. Now let me read this verse, or you might want to mark this down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. Notice all these verses deal with the faithfulness of God. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You know, I like that verse because it tells me that I can live a life that is absent of evil. There is always evil present around us, but it does not have to be a part of us. And, you know, that's why Paul tells us that there is no temptation but that which is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, provide the means of escape. Why? Because of the faithfulness of God, that he can keep us from evil. If we are overcome by evil, it's most likely because of the fact that we chose to expose ourselves to it. And I've heard all kinds of excuses over the years of people getting their lives messed up. And the bottom line is you just made the choice to expose yourself to that. And so the absence of evil. God has promised to keep us from evil. The permanence of the Bible that is so important for us, because Matthew 24 and verse 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It is important for us to know the faithfulness of God, that he has preserved his word so that you and I can open up the Bible and read it and listen to what God has to say. And everything is going to pass away, everything's going to be gone, but the word of God's not. And God's word does not change with time. It's what it said 3,000 years ago is what it says today in 2020. And so the permanency of the Bible. I remember Dr. Malone used to tell us, you young preacher boys, he used to say, I'm going to tell you right now, men, don't you ever cast any doubt on the word of God. And yet people will get in the pulpit and they'll say, well, the Bible says this, but it means this. Let the Bible interpret itself. You know, who appointed you the interpreter of the scriptures? We're supposed to build line upon line and precept upon precept. God's word will interpret itself if you'll be honest about it and not put your preconceived ideas into the passage. And so, presence of Jesus, the absence of evil, the permanence of the Bible, and then the confidence of God. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man. I think we need to remember that. In 2020, it seems like the songs that are being written in reference to worship and praise to God is dealing with God on the level of humanity. God is not a man. And he says that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, and shall be not make it good? And so the fact that God is, the confidence in my God, that he is not a man. He is God, the eternal God, the creator of all things, and I can depend upon him. His faithfulness is based on his person and his character, and I can have confidence in the Lord. Everything changes in life, but I'm thankful. The scriptures tells us, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm thankful that I have an unchanging God. And so I see the eternal promises. Personal experience, practical witness, powerful praise, and an eternal promise. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us. I said, wow, that is good. That sums up everything that I've been talking about. The issue and the problem is not God. The issue and the problem is us. And we need to stop debating with God. We need to stop arguing with God. And we need to come to a point of acknowledging that God is faithful. And he is always going to accomplish what his will is in our life. All we need to do is to surrender to that will. And so the faithfulness of God. Faithful is he that calleth you. Let's bow in prayer. My Father, I come to you. I thank you so much for allowing us to be together tonight. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God. Paul had to deal with a lot of issues in starting churches, encouraging the brethren, certainly dealing with his world in which he lived, but he never lost sight of the reality of the faithfulness of his God. Lord, with all these things that are going on around us, help us never lose sight that you are faithful to us. And God, may we praise you more. May we know you better, Lord. May we be able to experience a spirit of praise and worship unto our God. May we never forget the eternal promises that have been made to us by a God that is faithful. And Lord, I would pray if there's someone watching live stream or someone in the building here has never been saved, they don't know what it is to trust a God who is so faithful and merciful, I pray they would contact us, who would speak to us. We might be able to take the Bible and show them how to trust Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy tonight, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.